but I think Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts have very different missions, focusing on, we focus on girl leadership, and we are interested in creating the female leaders of tomorrow. That's where we think our sweet spot is.
At that particular age, especially early on, you know, 11 to 14, it's really, I think it would be hard, very difficult for those students or those scouts to be their genuine best self with that setup, with both genders in there. It would be a different dynamic, and I think a lot of the energy of the scouts in those meetings or activities would be spent maybe more on trying to be cool than actually trying to achieve what we're trying to do.
What I'm hearing a lot of from all of you is that you want to continue imposing gender roles on boys and girls. What you said earlier was girls prosper in a single gender environment, and that kind of hurts my feelings, because I have for a long time been prospering in a male-dominated environment, and not only prospering, but seeking out that environment.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Powering Up, a cross-generational podcast about female power, what it looks like, why it's important, and what we can all do to claim our power and put it to work, individually and collectively. I'm Ann Doyle, author of Powering Up, How America's Women Achievers Become Leaders.
And I'm Monica Doyle. I'm Ann's niece and the millennial voice on this podcast. Today's topic is something that came up in conversation a couple weeks ago. Ann calls it a feud between the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts. I always just kind of considered it a broadening of horizons, but we'll discuss that today.
Right.
So my aunt, AJ as I call her, has different opinions about this from me, so it should be an interesting conversation.
Oh, yes, we do. This is all about the fact that the Boy Scouts about a year ago decided that they were going to, after many, many years of not allowing girls in there, to start recruiting girls as part of their growth strategy. But the fact that we disagree on this is exactly why we have this cross-generational conversation on this podcast, because, you know, we bring different life experiences, different perspectives, and they're all worth exploring. So we're going to explore this whole what I call feud that's brewing and getting a little hotter right now between the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. So we have three really important voices that are going to be joining us. So with us in the studio is Denise Dalrymple, the CEO of the Girl Scouts of Southeastern Michigan. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Ann and Monica.
Hi.
And also joining us.
By phone is my Uncle Dan Root, former Boy Scout troop leader and father of an Eagle Scout. He is also a band director for 25 years and has worked with adolescent children for quite some time now. Welcome, Uncle Dan.
Well, thanks, Monica. Good to hear your voice.
Thanks.
So we're going to start, and also we have Robin Kinney, who's going to be listening but also joining us, because Robin is... she's the founder of the Motor City Woman Studios, but she's also a mother of a daughter, and thinking about this topic in terms of whether Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or what. Is that right, Robin?
Yes, Ann, that is correct.
All right. So we'll come to you in just a couple minutes. But let me start with Denise in terms of, is it fair to call this a feud, and what is this all about?
And I think when we first heard about this, that the Boy Scouts were broadening, if you will, their mission to include girls, I remember having a discussion with my counterpoint, the Boy Scout executive in the Tri-County area. We cover the 8-county area. And the conversation I had was like, you know, between the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, we're only covering about 5 or 6% of the market being kids between the age of kindergarten and 12th grade. And so there's a lot of opportunity for all of us to work with kids. And I don't think anything that you do for kids is wasted. I think the kids need a lot more attention than they're getting from adults. But as time goes on, as it has been implemented, then it's gotten a little more confusing. And I think that has to do with how Boy Scouts is very different from the Girl Scouts. The Boy Scouts has their national board is self-perpetuating. And so they can make a decision at their national office, woohoo, we're going to start serving boys, and then just do that. Girl Scouts is very, very different.
Start serving girls.
Start serving girls, right. Girl Scouts is very different in that we would have to take that to a vote of our National Assembly. We have delegates who meet every 3 years, and that would have to be an amendment to our bylaws. And in fact, Girl Scouts talked about starting to serve boys in the late 1990s, early 2000s. But
is this classic male-female, male more authoritarian? I mean, we're in the board, and
maybe,
the females, everybody's got
know.
An opinion.
I do think everybody has an opinion, but I think that, again, I don't think anything you give kids is wasted. I'll be curious to hear what other people think about that. I know that for the girls, our national CEO is that we're not interested in serving boys. We think that our sweet spot is serving girls. We think the research shows that girls prosper in a single-gender environment. Actually, I wanted to amend a little bit what you said. The Girl Scouts did try to cooperate with the Boy Scouts. In fact, there's a Voyagers program that is co-ed that we started with them about 30, 40 years ago, but then that experiment didn't work very well, and the Boy Scouts just kind of left us out in the cold and then just started doing it themselves. So we have not, going back 100 years, we haven't cooperated very well with the Boy Scouts. It's interesting, too, because we know that we have so many families that have both boys and girls. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts.
I think that was part of their original pitch, let's say, is this is much more convenient for families that they don't have to go to two different organizations, that their kids could be involved in the same organization.
I don't know. I think if you want something co-ed, then you look at Latchkey before and after school. That's what's convenient if you're looking for childcare. But I think Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts have very different missions, focusing on, we focus on girl leadership. And we are interested in creating the female leaders of tomorrow. That's where we think our sweet spot is. And we've spent a lot of time and energy finding out what works for girls, what interests girls. We think our programs have been very successful in helping girls develop their project management skills. I think we're very happy with where we are. Now, in terms of a feud with the Boy Scouts, you're right. Our national organization, not us at the local level, but the national organization has sued the National Boy Scouts. That has to do with the brand. That has to do with the confusion in the marketplace where some of the local Boy Scout councils are using our mission statement, they're using our documents, they're using our founder.
And they're saying, we're the Scouts.
We're the Scouts. We have some over-enthusiastic volunteers are going to schools and saying, hey, you don't need to work with the Girl Scouts anymore. We've got it covered for you. I don't think the Boy Scouts would appreciate that if that were on the other foot. I really don't think so.
Well, let's get
some word from Dan. Yeah, I was wondering, Dan, what's your perspective on this coming from the Boy Scout side of things?
Well, yeah. Basically, I'm talking as a scoutmaster. I was a scoutmaster for 10 years. And so I've got some pretty good hands-on experience with a scout troop. And what I have some concerns on, there's a couple of things. And one of them is the issues you might run into campouts and scout camp and that kind of thing. It probably would be easier to not have both genders on that kind of an excursion. Talking from also being a band director who took many bands all over the place, month-long tours in Europe, and those were boys and girls of the same age. It's pretty high intensity trying to keep track of what's going on. So I think that might be a little bit dangerous right there.
Dangerous? And, what do you mean by dangerous, Dan?
Well, things can happen when you get boys and girls of adolescent age spending multiple nights away from home. That's just you probably have to experience chaperoning people like that. You don't get a lot of sleep. And so, I could only imagine that you'd have to have an adult volunteer with each scout in their tent.
Are you talking about sex? I mean, what are you talking about?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about, yes. I mean, that's kind of, is that new? I don't know why we would want to put that element into that. That would make doing those kind of activities almost impossible. Mm-hmm. So that's more on a real concrete basis concern. My other concern is actually the ability for the scouts to, the Boy Scouts, and probably Girl Scouts also, to develop those leadership skills and service-oriented attitudes and that kind of thing that really is the goal of any Scoutmaster, is to develop those kind of boys. Just basically from my experience of being in a single-gender situation like Boy Scouts, or the other situation as in school with bands that are both genders, at that particular age, especially early on, 11 to 14, it's really, I think it would be hard, very difficult for those students or those scouts to be their genuine best self with that setup, with both genders in there. It'd be a different dynamic, and I think a lot of the energy of the scouts in those meetings or activities would be spent maybe more on trying to be cool than actually trying to achieve what we're trying to do.
Monica, I see this look on your face, mm-hmm. and I really want you to weigh in, because I know that, when this came up a couple of weeks ago, you said, hey, I think girls ought to be able to join Boy Scouts, and boys ought to be able to go Girl Scouts, and mm-hmm. let them pick.
Well, I got to be honest. I mean, I wanted to listen to what you guys had to say before I said anything, and I am kind of disappointed. My generation is very against imposing gender roles upon children. And my experience in the Girl Scouts was exactly that, was imposing gender roles on me, a little girl who went to a Catholic school wearing the boys' uniform, and I didn't belong with the girls. I didn't belong with the boys. I had nowhere to go. I didn't want to go to the mall and try on clothes. I didn't want to bake. I didn't want to sew. I didn't want gender roles.
Is that what the Girl
That's
Scouts
exactly
troop
what it
you
was
were involved in was doing?
Mm-hmm. They were doing, it was home ec versus wood shop. And I wanted to do wood shop, but I couldn't go to Cub Scouts. You know, I have this very vivid memory of standing outside of my brother's Cub Scouts classroom looking in. You know, like, I can't get more symbolic than that, and this literally happened to me. I was standing outside watching the boys, put together Pinewood Derby cars, and I wanted to do that. And, like, I joined Girl Scouts because that's what I wanted to do, and what I got was a trip to the mall. Like, that's what they did. They took us to the mall and had us do a fashion show. And I didn't want to do that. And so, basically, I think that what I'm hearing a lot of from all of you is that you want to continue imposing gender roles on boys and girls. What you said earlier was girls prosper in a single-gender environment, and that kind of hurts my feelings. Because I have for a long time been prospering in a male-dominated environment, and not only prospering, but seeking out that environment. So I feel like this attitude that girls prosper in a single-gender environment is imposing a single-gender environment on girls. It's imposing these gender roles on girls. And I'm not transgender. I'm not a lesbian. I've had to say this to so many people so many times in my life. Yes, I like hockey. I like boy stuff. But I'm a girl. I date boys. Just because I look masculine doesn't mean that I don't belong
to girls. You don't look masculine to me.
For my whole life, this is what most people have been telling me. And so hearing this attitude that it's hard to figure this out, so we're just not going to, it hurts my feelings a lot. Because this is what I grew up with. This is what I struggled with growing up, is
is being different than the other girls. And I've also often wondered if maybe there are a lot more girls like me out there, girls like my students, like my hockey students, who don't want to do these traditional things but are made to believe that they're supposed to. I started figure skating because I thought hockey wasn't an option for me. All right? So my attitude in this whole situation between Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts is that there isn't an option for girls to do the boy things. There is not an option for boys to do the girl things. Because the way we have it, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, this binary division, you have to be one or the other. You can't be a little bit of one or a little bit of another. You can't have a gray area. You know, you have to either go to the mall or you got to build a car. Those are the options. Well, and that's really not okay with me.
Well, Monica, there are co-ed organizations like 4-H that offers both of those opportunities for boys and girls. It isn't that we have an attitude about it, it's that research shows that girls do prosper in an all-girl environment, particularly when you're looking at tackling subjects that are traditionally, quote, boy subjects. Being in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts is not imposed. That is not imposed on anybody. You have a choice about whether being in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. And as I said, we only have 5 or 6% of the available population. There's plenty of other places, co-ed. And let's face it, you do get to play hockey. I was raised in Port Huron, which is a very big hockey town, and I had girlfriends who played hockey in that. We're talking 45 years ago. So this idea that it is either or, it's not either or. It's and. It's either and.
So what do you have to say to a little girl who has never heard of 4-H because it doesn't exist in their school, that what their school offers is Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, and wants to join Boy Scouts but can't join Boy Scouts? What would you say to a little girl like that?
Girls can join Boy Scouts. Let her join Boy Scouts.
But are you saying that's fine with you?
That's fine with me. I think if girls want to join Boy Scouts, it's fine.
What do you think about boys joining Girl Scouts?
We're not interested because we
so
think
a little boy standing outside of a classroom like I did, wanting to do home ec, wanting to go to the mall.
We don't do home ec though. Girl Scouts. Your troop leader did home ec with you. Your troop and did you a disservice. We don't do home ec. We don't have any
what
badges
that are
home ec.
What about these mall trips?
And that is very leader dependent. It's very troop leader dependent. I think what you're describing is an old-fashioned view of what Girl Scouts.
So what's your Girl Scouts? That's what I'm curious to know. I'm curious to know what your version of the Girl Scouts is.
I think our version of the Girl Scouts, for example, we created 80 different badges in STEM in the last 2 years. We have another 80 badges or so that are outdoors, our outdoor activities, including adventure camp. We don't have anything that is home ec like what you described.
You said badges, but I don't know what badges.
Okay.
I understand that you earn them for like achieving things, but I want to know what the things that they have to do to achieve these are. That's what
okay.
I'm curious about.
Each badge has 5 steps in it, and each step has 3 options in it. And so there's actually 15 different activities. The 5th step is always a community service project or taking it to the public. We have so many badges that we have a spreadsheet in order to try to organize all of that. Like any youth-serving organization, in fact, any human organization, whether it's paid staff or unpaid staff, you're only as good as the people delivering the service. And, yeah, we're a volunteer organization. And I feel really bad that you had a troop leader that didn't meet your needs. One thing I really wanted to make as I was thinking about this as I was driving over here today is that many people think that Girl Scouts can only do things in their troop, and that's not true at all. Parents can work with their girls. In fact, we have at any one time between 5 and 10% of our girls are what are called Juliet girls. And so they get to pick
after
the founder.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that because I was just cringing.
No, that's the founder
super hard.
Of the Girl Scouts. Well, let me finish that point, and then
okay,
I want to
okay.
bring Dan
where the
in
girls,
here
where the girls
to respond
to
Monica.
But the fact that we honor our founder from 100 years ago, so I guess I'll stop there. I don't think it's a bad thing for women to have other women to look up to. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Julia
Gordon-Lowe was extraordinary in her time. She had girls who did flyer badges. She took girls outdoors when no girl could go outside. She had mechanics badges. She was considered a complete, total rebellious person because she was helping girls do things that and helping them break out of their gender stereotypes.
In the early 1912.
And so that is in our DNA. That's in our DNA. I think I think in many ways, I think we're all trapped and can be trapped in these gender roles if we let ourselves be that. That's why I said earlier, let girls join Boy Scouts. If Boy Scouts are willing to do that, that's fine. But if boys want to join Girl Scouts, I would tell them about the 4-H Club. And in fact, there's more kids belong to 4-H in this country than belong to either Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. They're very common, not just in the country, but in cities. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
So let me get Dan in here, because Monica has made some very strong points, and I'm sure you were thinking, Dan, as you were listening to her. What do you want to add to this?
Well, it is disappointing to have someone want to join the Girl Scouts like Monica and end up in what that's really bad. And again, on Denise's point, that is leadership specific. It has to do with that. And if that were to happen in my troop, I would hope that the person, the student and maybe their parents could come to me and say, hey, this might not be what we're looking for. And so then I would say something maybe like, okay, the 4-H thing, or you might want to look at another Girl Scout troop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or what do you suggest? And take some suggestions. And so I'm sure that my troop was not exactly the same as the troop that was 7 miles away from us here. We did things differently, all within the aegis of what Scouts are about, but we did things differently. So, again, the choice thing comes into it, and that's the first thing I thought about. Well, you have a choice to do something else, okay?
Monica has a very strong point, because what, if I'm hearing you right, Monica, you're objecting to be a binary choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's either or stick me into this one or stick me into this one. Why can't I do the cool stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to explain to you is that there is very cool stuff to do in Girl Scouts.
And
there really
and let
is.
Me get Robin in here, because this is what we're talking about in terms of choice. And as a mother of young kids, what's your thinking listening to this, Robin?
Well, and this is all very interesting to me, and to even have this kind of access to this conversation is really helping me. And what's so funny is I was recently exchanging emails with a local troop leader about my girls. I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I was trying to find the right organization to get them involved in to make sure that they're not only around other girls, but also that they're learning leadership development, which is very important to me. Monica touched on a couple things that concerned me, so I'm listening intently because I want to make sure that they're getting a rich experience and not just the experience of one troop leader. So that's my concern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, both Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts talk about being about leadership.
Absolutely.
And that's maybe it was something that was lost along the way. Denise, I know it was certainly part of the founders' thinking, or it was definitely breaking out of gender roles at that time.
I think that women are as varied. I had a long-term Bea Elliott, who was 9 years old, and she had actually met Julia Gordon-Lowe. And I met her early on in my Girl Scout career about 10 years ago. And she said that she felt that Girl Scouts is very much a reflection of how women were viewed in society. And so there were periods when she was a girl that Girl Scouts were seen as very, very radical. And then periods where they were seen as very, very traditional. And then very radical again. And then very, very traditional. Recently, in recent years, we've been seen as very, very radical, believe it or not, because there are people who don't believe it that girls should pursuing leadership roles.
Well, and if I may say, in your defense, Denise, when I was attending Girl Scouts, it was at a very traditional gender role type school. You know, we had boys and girls uniform, and I was the weirdo that wore the boys uniform because I didn't want to wear a skirt everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So I think you make a very good case for why we need to pay attention to who our kids are and find out what's good for that kid, mm-hmm. and rather than trying to slot every kid into one thing. That's why I said earlier when we began this, and you said, oh, there's this big feud between the two of you. And as I said, what my initial attitude about this was, well, you know what, come on, the water's fine. We're only serving 5 or 6% of all the kids available, and the kids need us. They need all kinds of stuff. Nothing you give kids is wasted. Mm-hmm. I started to say, I have a person who works for me whose daughters are in both Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very interesting, because they get different things.
Uh-huh.
Well, and she feels they get different things out of those organizations. And for that family, that's really a good thing. I would never tell somebody not to take advantage of all the things that you can, that you believe is good for your kids, because I think parents we should honor parents as being the experts about their child.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the pieces of this that has been written about it, I mean, there's been things written in the national media about this being a hostile takeover, also about the fact that, you know, that the Boy Scouts don't really have particular expertise in developing leadership in girls. They do have some financial problems. They do have declining market share. They do have some history of sexual abuse of Boy Scouts.
And I don't like you bringing that up as
well. I think it's important to bring it. No, I'm just putting it out there. I think it's important to have the truth out there.
I think it's important to know that it's happened, but other institutions such as the Catholic Church have also had these issues, and
that's
doesn't
a
mean
big problem too. And we
should
talk about it with the Catholic Church. You don't not talk about it.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not good because they're bad.
You can't use it to slander the entire organization, is my issue.
I think that we're good. Girl Scouts is good because Girl Scouts is good.
You can't use that to slander the entire organization.
Not because Boy Scouts is bad. On the other hand, though, I think I did tell you, we are experiencing it as a hostile takeover, in that because we have, as I said, some overenthusiastic volunteers that are using our mission, our founder's image, that are using our materials, that have specific strategies to recruit our volunteers. Mm-hmm. In order to be troop leaders for them. So it's like, boys, go do your own thing. And as I said, though, it's very hard to characterize an entire organization with the history of these organizations on the behavior of a few.
I think that's my point, is I'm not comfortable saying that the Boy Scouts are the ones molesting children. It's not Boy Scouts. It's bad people who happen to be members of the Boy Scouts.
Exactly.
So that's where my issue comes in, is saying that the Boy Scouts are child molesters.
No, you're right.
You didn't say it like that.
I did not say that. I said that organization has had some issues in terms of
with members who were...
Correct. Now, you know, another piece about this that also is out there is that there's been a lot of misinformation on the internet about religious and social criticisms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also this, you might say, has been fake news. But it's all over the internet. And, for example, people saying that God has been removed from the Girl Scout promise.
Not true.
I mean,
it's just not true. Well, I know.
And does the Girl Scouts have a relationship with organizations that are providing birth control information?
No, we do not.
Right. And so this is some of the stuff that I think it's important to say, you know, this is the kind of thing that has also been said about what's wrong with the Girl Scouts. Okay, so both sides have been throwing some mud.
And
I think it's just important to say, what's the truth out there?
But neither of these are religious institutions.
No.
Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, neither of them are religious institutions.
No.
Okay, just kind of clarifying.
No, it has to do, we have in God, we trust on our, I mean, you know, this is a whole, we could do another whole podcast about this, but.
United States dollar.
But ostensibly, but we do have, we still have God in our promise. It was never taken out. I think the confusion came from is that in the 90s, in the happy 90s, one of our national conventions said that girls got to think about God as God for what they thought of God. It wasn't just strictly limited to the Christian God. Mm-hmm. And so there are people who say, well, then, oh, my God, if it's not Christian, then it's no good.
Robin, anything you want to add to this?
Well, I think overall, in looking at the Girl Scouts, Girl Scouts organization, it is something that I'm going to pursue for my girls. And depending on their experience and the feedback that I get, you know, I'll make my decision after that. But I think that the Girl Scouts is an organization that I've seen that's had, you know, a lasting effect on numerous communities. I was not part of the Girl Scouts growing up, but I want to make sure that my girls have access to not only the leadership development programming, but also access to other girls and to other families to start building a community and building that confidence. So I'm just excited about the conversation today, and it really answered a lot of my questions that I had. And I want to thank you, Ann and Monica, for having it.
And thanks for having me on. This is Denise Dalrymple. If you go to gssem.org, that's our website, and if you see something you don't like, you can find me under who we are. And I'm Denise. I'm the CEO, and I return my emails within 24 hours. 48 on the weekend. Give me a break, but 24 hours.
Thank you so much, Denise.
You're welcome.
And Dan Root.
Well, this has been just a really interesting discussion. I've enjoyed listening to you and putting my two cents in, and I think scouting, whether it's Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts, is extremely valuable. It teaches the youth of a lot of things that they need to know. So hopefully both organizations will continue to be strong and maybe get to be able to, like, work together a little better.
Wouldn't that be
good? You never
know.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be good?
Stranger things have happened.
You know, and one of the things that I know is that the fact is that a very high percentage of the women who have become CEOs in this country, the women astronauts, women who have just been elected to Congress, including there's a 19-year-old young woman in Vermont who was just elected to the state legislature, and she really credited the Girl Scouts and her experience in terms of learning about government. For that achievement. So I'm all about leadership for our boys and our girls and whatever works for them. Monica, you want to weigh in?
I mean, I mostly want to say thank you to Denise because, you know, I've never really had much of a chance to vent some of the frustration that I felt at, because I only spent 1 year in Girl Scouts because of my experience. But it was really nice to put it out there and to talk about it because I teach little girls, you know, girls who don't fall within the general spectrum of femininity. And it's just nice to hear that there's at least people out there who are considering options for them other than the mall.
Exactly. Thanks, Monica.
So our thanks to Denise Dalrymple, the CEO of the Girl Scouts of Southeastern Michigan, she mentioned her website where you can reach her, and also to Dan Root, my brother-in-law, Monica's uncle, and longtime scout leader, a father of an Eagle Scout, and a 25-year band director over in Western Michigan.
And also thanks, Robin, for bringing your perspective as a parent.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
You know, and I wanted to wrap this up with kind of a little bit of a controversy that's been going on recently during this holiday season, and that's about the interesting discussion that's going on regarding the classic Christmas song, Baby, It's Cold Outside. And in this Me Too era that, you know, there are people, it's actually been banned on a number of stations in terms of basically saying, hey, this is a whole scenario that's playing out in this song of a possible sexual assault, a date sexual assault. So, you know, she's saying, oh, I really must go. And he's saying, no, no, no. Monica, any thought on that?
Yeah, actually, this is a funny one for me because, one, I don't have any issue with them banning it. I completely understand where everybody's coming from, and it's hard to deny, you know, the persuasion tactics in the song.
If you listen carefully.
If you listen carefully. I grew up listening to it, and it's actually, I really like the tune and stuff like that, so I actually really enjoy the song. So when all this stuff started coming up, I kind of started literally rewriting the song to, you know, not be so rapey.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know this. So maybe, are you going to tell us right now? Or
It's just something I was tinkering with. I don't have any, like, finished drafts or anything, but I've started rewriting it. And, you know, there's, because my experience with it, you know, I had seen it sung in, like, movies and stuff like that. And as a kid, you know, words just kind of go through your head and you don't really think about the meaning of them. And you're like, oh, it's cold outside and he wants her to stay, but it's cold outside, you know. So it only came to my attention kind of recently. I didn't think about it, but so the song still holds
a
spot.
Well, finish it, will you?
Yeah.
And when you get it done, we'll share it on this podcast.
Well, and just one last note, Lady Gaga and Joseph Gordon-Levitt actually did quite a humorous little rendition of it where they switched the roles.
Ah.
And it's really funny. So if anybody gets a chance, that's a humorous take on a weird subject of a song.
Well, if we could, we'd play it here, but that would be all kinds of copyright infringement, so we're not going to be doing that. So go look it up. Well, you know what? Questioning things is how we build awareness, and that's really been what this conversation is all about, listening, looking, thinking in new ways, and I think that's a great way to start powering up. Right, Monica?
I agree.
So I'm Ann Doyle.
And I'm Monica Doyle. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to our Powering Up podcast, everybody. We hope you'll subscribe and share us with your network. And Monica and I would just love to hear from you through the Powering Up Women Facebook page or at Ann Doyle LDR on Twitter. So also our thanks to the Motor City Women Studios here in Metro Detroit, where they and we are amplifying the voices of women. And remember, power is the currency for getting things done. That's why getting comfortable with power is essential. Trust yourself and your sisters. Now let's go power up.